WFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What's up, Black Sheep? What's up, Black Sheep?
Oh, hey, how's that Monday treating you?
Thank gosh, you look like her what? Like your what?
So Trav's looking at pictures of my daughter, which is not scary to this point. But I can tell you this, that we're in the locker room all the time. We've been in locker rooms our whole life, and we would never speak to each other the way others say locker room talk goes. But our locker room talk goes a lot more on the humorous side of things, and that's what we are here to do. We are here with you every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. So why not make it a day that ends in a Y, and we'll be there to tell you everything and try to break down the debacle that we saw in Minnesota. It was really a bad sports weekend for Houston until the Rangers lost last night. That was like the first saving grace of what was like a horrific sports weekend for Houston fans. So with that, I let you know that I am in the studio. I am Joel Blank. I am joined by my partner in crime, my own version of Ken.
Ken Bone.
Ken Bone. My own personal version of Ken Bone. I'm Joel the Pole. And I bring in Trav Trap J 99. If you have a stage name like Ken Bone, you let me know.
Hey, you know what? It sounds more like a porn name.
That's what I'm saying. My man, he looked like a skit out of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, he
and
did.
Then with the stage name of a stripper at a male strip club.
Yeah, Kenneth Bone.
Ken for short, but that's the only thing short about me. So we've got Trav and Joel till 4. We're going to do a whole bunch of breakdowns on football and a whole lot more. One of the guys who also has a stage name, No Hit Nick, he comes out and he's definitely not afraid to stuff it, so you don't have to fluff it.
What up?
Nick is with us. Nick, tough weekend for you.
It was.
We kind of told you it was coming. And at least beware. We didn't tell you definitely without question Navy was going to win the game. We just said you had to be careful. It was a trap game. And oh, wasn't it, though?
Yeah, you gave me the heads up.
Yep.
We were talking about the triple option when we were playing basketball on Saturday. You were telling me about...
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Bring that back here. Don't just try to slide that in there. You play basketball?
Yeah.
How'd you do?
I didn't do very well. Defensively, I did well.
I'm glad you're honest because I already had the scouting reports. I was waiting for you.
I need my man to play basketball in basketball shoes because I worried about him. He got in the car to go to the gym, and I said, "Where are your basketball shoes?" And am I allowed to tell this?
Absolutely.
Okay. And he said, "No, I'll be good. I got some J's at the house, but they were kind of worn, and I didn't think they're gonna have traction, so I'm gonna wear these instead." And I said, "Nick, you're gonna break an ankle or do something playing in those shoes."
What kind of shoes are you playing in?
They're like running shoes. Nick, put your feet. You're wearing them.
They're like running shoes, like Nike running shoes.
They're like soft-sided trainers.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
So he tweaked the knee. Don't worry about that now. He tweaked the knee.
That's why you're over here. That's why he's over here limping around right now.
And he got undercut on a play where I thought he was really going to get seriously hurt, and then he played tough. No, I'm good. I'm like, okay, man. I just care. I'm just seeing you're all right. But yeah, I was worried about Nick playing in non-basketball shoes.
So you should have seen the way I fell to the ground when I threw that basketball up too.
So Nick, you're not Billy Holden, right?
No.
All right.
Yeah, but
it was fun though.
It was fun. He didn't say game blouses, which was good.
Yeah.
I was telling him before there was only one good player on the court. He got really upset with me.
See, yeah, I mean, seriously, when you're bagging on everybody else and you haven't made a shot, that's not that you can't be bagging on everybody else.
Dang, I made a couple.
You got a broke jumper too?
No,
I made a couple.
He made one shot. He was going to the basket and it looked like a sniper hit him in the knees.
Yeah.
And as he went to the floor, he just kind of
threw it up
and it went in.
And it went in. It was funny, though. Yeah. It was hilarious.
For those,
I was impressed with myself when I made that shot.
That don't sound funny to me, though. That sounds like you set me up for the okey-doke. And I'm bringing you out here like, yeah, my boy can really hoop. And then you come out here like Marlon Wayans on above the rim.
I mean, trying to
powder up like.
Right.
Nobody,
give me the ball, yo.
Nobody really stood out on the court except for like one player, honestly. It was pretty. I mean, it was like one guy scoring the whole day, the whole game.
I made four threes in the first game. and only one guy.
He may have exaggerated the number there.
No, that's a legitimate number. I made four threes in the first game. Kept us in it. I took Nick on my team. I was like,
I'll take Nick.
I'm going to take Nick. And then Nick looked at me like, what am I, a throw-in? I go, I don't know how you can play. Yeah, you're my boy, I'm going to take you.
I wouldn't have took Nick.
Well, see, that's the difference between me and you. That's why you moonlight and do podcasts with other people and tell them that you're partners.
But that's
only one partner in crime.
You're right, but that's my roommate. We came in together, 2017.
Well, then you bring
up
another definition of partner to the table. I'm just talking about professionally in a work environment setting.
Hey, listen, the laws prevent you from talking to me about that.
Based on the debate last night and the festivities before that, the laws don't prevent you from talking about anything anymore.
No question. That's the true statement.
Let me just say this, because we're not a political show. We can get there if we have to be or you want us to be. But in talking to other people, and obviously my wife covers the news and she's knee-deep in all this, and we're watching this, CNN is not only not deleting and bleeping out any of the words, but they're putting the transcripts on the screen, and you're seeing S-bombs, you're seeing the P-words, you're hearing it. And then in the dialogue between the people on the diocese that are asked to chime in and take both sides of this, there's women screaming and yelling the P-word. And I'm going, this is not like satellite radio.
No.
This is CNN.
It's CNN.
That is crazy to me.
It's me and my wife had this discussion just watching a regular show. It wasn't even CNN. Just watching a regular show and how much they use the S word, how much they use the B word, how much they use the A word. And we can say ass on the radio, but how much they use it. So
bitch and ass you can use. But the words you're not, you are not supposed to be dropping S-bombs in anything I've ever been taught.
But the TV we grew up on, TGIF, MASH, Cheers, all of the above, they weren't dropping them words and it still was funny shows. So I'm like, and for CNN to report it, and I just was offended by when they said locker room talk. And I don't know about you, but I've been in a lot of locker rooms since I grew up. A lot of locker rooms since I was a little boy. And we never spoke like that.
Did you hear me open the show, by the way, or were you doing something else?
No. I heard you open it.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know you're always with me.
But so I had to explain to my wife, who said, did you look at that man? He's never been in a locker room. I said, honey, you don't understand. His idea of the locker room is at the country clubs at all the Trump courses.
Yes.
Which is that ritzy locker room. And I said, but what you don't understand about that is that's how those old dudes talk. But here's the other thing. They're the same dudes that sit in the vibrating leather recliner with nothing on but a towel, and they fall asleep with their grapes in their cheeks stuck to the leather, and then they don't clean anything out. They don't wipe that chair down when they leave.
They some booty stewards.
Yeah.
That's what we call them, booty stewards.
Right.
Yeah, no.
No.
I just,
you can't fake the funk after you get off a leather recliner sleeping. No. I don't care if you showered or not. It's just not good.
It's nasty.
But that's what kind of locker room he's talking about.
No,
because you and I were talking off the air. Well, we walked in here and we were talking. I said, Trav, never in my life in any locker rooms I actually played in or worked in, and I'm asking you if you had any experience, and you said, and you either, have I ever said anything like that or heard any of my teammates say anything like that or any people I know? But you walk up and say you're going to grab
a sexual assault.
It absolutely is.
That's like that, right? Like, and the fact that he said it, that means he's done it before.
Well, for sure.
And
how about man Billy Bush, who again, Ken Bone, Billy Bush, probably his stage name, but didn't realize he is in the family tree of the actual Bush family.
Yeah.
And yet he's going to lose his gig from something that happened in 2005 that he didn't even remember.
Yeah.
And it's now pertinent, and he's going to lose a major gig at NBC and the Today Show because of this. And yet, if you're a politician and it comes up in a debate and they bring it up to you, you can actually deflect it and just start talking about the husband of the opponent, and it's supposed to go away.
That right there pissed me off more than anything else. Like, you just think the American people are that dumb.
Yeah.
That I ask you about a policy, and you said, well, her husband has said worse. Like, I didn't ask you that question.
Right.
Answer the question.
So here's the thing. We're pretty good to you people. And we give you good picks. We break down things. And then we kind of mention the fact when we do something well because we're building it. And when we build it, they will come.
Exactly.
When we're bad from now on, if you call us on it, we're just going to go, you know that the Texans play down on Kirby. And that at Minute Maid Park, the Astros are taking out that hill in center field. So those are bigger problems that we have to worry about than what we say to you during the course of Monday through Friday.
It was ridiculous, man. I felt like I got a little dumber yesterday. watching it.
Which is never a good thing.
No, never. Especially with the way concussions are nowadays.
Yeah.
I'm already down a few cells, and I felt, after listening to Donald Trump yesterday, I felt a little dumber.
Well, there's our version of Dumb and Dumber, and we'll be here till 4713780-ESPN. You can text us, you can call in, or as always, you can catch us on Twitter. We'll catch you on the flip side, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
For another star-studded and fun-filled afternoon of shenanigans on ESPN 97.5 on the show that I believe people still believe is nameless. We like to call it trap shooting at point-blank range when we get Travis in the studio and we break down everything from life to football. Oh, yeah, Nick's here. And first segment we spent just getting some things off our chest. But now we want to get down to what you want to get down with. We mentioned the fact that we thought that the best part of the weekend for Houston sports fans was the fact that at least the Rangers lost. They're eliminated. They're not going to win the World Series, so you like that. And on top of all that, they didn't have to give up draft picks and people in their minor league system just to try and win a championship that they will not even sniff now, which is great. I saw a great sign in the stands last night that said, I'd rather get punched in July than knocked out in October.
Yeah.
It pretty much breaks it all down.
It definitely does.
And Joey Bats was big. All were big.
Big. He was big. And then Josh Donaldson. Multi-hit games.
Doubles. Yeah, hustle.
Like, come on, man. Like, this dude, there's only three other guys. I think it's only two other guys in Blue Jay history.
I'll tell you the other thing that was very, very much music to my ears is people are starting to say that Encarnacion is going to be in an Astros uniform next year.
That'd be nice. That'd be a nice look.
That big bat in the middle of that lineup.
Yes.
And tell me that that doesn't help you immensely. And you don't have to give up anything to get him. You just go out and get him in free agency because both Bautista and Encarnacion are going to be free agents.
Yes.
And they don't think they're going to be back in Toronto. If that's true and the Stros could add a stick like that,
yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you what, man, because we've talked this several times. We're both huge baseball fans. And the fact that we like what the Astros are building.
Yeah.
You put a big bat in the middle of that lineup and let the young guys kind of just fall in around them.
It's going to be real nice, man.
Yeah.
Today we got, what, three baseball games today?
Yeah. Because a lot of rainouts. That was crazy. That weather, as much as we talked about how it would affect football, it really affected baseball this weekend.
It did. Who you got in these two nothing ball games?
Well, I told you that, and I picked the Red Sox and Cubs in the World Series, and I've been a longtime Red Sox fan since I've been knee-high to a cow's udders back home. But I said that the Red Sox would definitely win game three at home in Fenway. I just don't see them losing. But that's a tough situation, but no one's come back from more 2-0 holes in a five-game series than the Red Sox. So I'd like to see the Red Sox win. I'm not sold on their pitching, and their hitting, which is great all year.
It's great all year.
And it just disappeared.
It's great at home. I mean, they're hitting 300 at home, and their on-base percentage is one of the best. Their slugging is one of the best. But their problem is they keep chasing all they're not doing well at bat. They're swinging early. Got 22, 23 strikeouts in two games. That's a problem. Like you got to make him throw you pitches. You got to foul off pitches, and you can't chase the junk. And that's what they've been doing these first two games, just chasing the junk and then going down early.
Well, the other thing too is, in a short series, mistakes are magnified. So what you're talking about, like even bringing in Andrew Miller when they did was a huge risk for Francona if it backfires. But because they have a lot of lefties, and Ortiz was chasing everything out of the zone, which is so unlike him because he's one of the best and most disciplined hitters. That's what he does. He's just a paid hitter.
Yeah.
He's a professional hitter. For some reason, the Red Sox, as poised as they were to hang on, win that division, and take all the tough games, look like a very inexperienced team. And when David Price, with all that money,
He's struggling in the playoffs. I mean, what is he, 0 for everything?
He's always had a bad playoff record, but it's actually gotten worse since he got all the money. And speaking of getting all that money and then not performing, before we can finish baseball a little later and get to what we've been talking about in terms of who we think is going to win and what these series are going to do, but down on Kirby, which is the home base?
Yes.
Yeah, I've warned you people before about deodorant and the fact that you need to make sure that you avoid having BO, especially on the road, because that's when people can notice it and point it out more easily than they do at home. When you're in the comfort of your own home, you don't have to use deodorant. But the BO was evident again on Sunday, this time in Minneapolis.
Oh, man.
And it stank.
They just gave me a yawn.
Yeah, and it really, really smelled bad for a long period of time. And with that, so did the play calling. And with that, I had said during the week special teams was going to be a factor. And lo and behold,
they were
the Vikings ran back a punt for a touchdown. And it steamrolled. And I tweeted during the game, well, the Texans are good for two of these a year. Last year was Miami and Atlanta. It wasn't quite as bad this year, but it was pretty bad if this is the one that you're going to put, and you hope they don't have that second one. But again, with New England and now Minnesota, they've laid two pretty big eggs with two prominent foes, which could have catapulted you to the tip of the lip of people that are experts saying they can compete in the AFC. Now you can just say, well, at least they're still – everybody's – I hated seeing this last night. Everybody just kept saying, well, at least they're still first in the division.
Yeah, no, but that's just how bad the division is. I mean, when you think about what the Colts have done and you think about what Jacksonville has done, I think you say, all right, yeah, they might be first in the division, but at the end of the day is this loss to me, it basically screams help, because the way that they got beat and how they got beat, and I understand right now, statistically, Minnesota's the number two defense in the league right now. But When you watch what the offensive line was doing, what the defensive line was doing to the offensive line, that right there scared me. I think, you know, when they kind of rotated Dwayne Brown a little bit in and out of the game, at the left tackle spot, I guess they didn't want to put too much on him. But I saw Everson Griffin getting stupidly off the ball as the ball was being snapped. I saw all these guys, man, from 99 to everybody, man, really playing great ball over there, and we had no answers for it. And it seems like they were all asleep. Like, they didn't wake. And then you see the chemistry right now, or the lack thereof, with Brock Osweiler and
who, Fuller?
Fuller and D-Hop. You see D-Hop D-Hop scored and was like, he smiled. Like, yeah, all right, I got to score a touchdown.
The body language was awful.
It's very awful, because now it reminds you of the bad year that Shabby had, when it seemed like him and Andre were beefing a little bit. You know what I mean?
Which came out.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's horrible to watch, because you're sitting there like, why is it that we paid the money we paid for this kid? You know what I mean? And I think it's a lot of upside. But now you're looking at Denver and you're saying, how should we have followed their role and just say, you know what? At some point, you can't make deals with the devil. At some point, you can't sit there and say, I'm just going to give away $72 million. Because then we start acting like the candy man in Washington, Dan Snyder, and just giving it to any old Tom, Dick, and Harry.
So we got plenty to touch on, and it's not another Ken moment. We're not going to talk about Tom, Dick, or Harry. And if you use those in other orders, then we could be in trouble, Nick, so we're not going to do that. But what we are going to talk about is body language and the fact that we've got plenty that you just knocked out there. But the one thing that was noticeable to me that I saw in the Patriots game that I didn't want to see again, that I saw throughout this game, especially when they got down, which was that look in their eyes like they were scared. That look in their eyes like not only were they playing not to lose, but that they knew that they had already been beaten before we had gotten through the first quarter.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign to have for a team that thinks they're a winning program on their way to bigger and better things, like not just a division title, but winning a couple playoff games, AFC championship, possible Super Bowl contender. It's in your backyard. They looked like a team that was just trying to get there and were happy to pick up those W's against, you know, the poor teams and capitalize on those. They didn't look like a team that was ready and motivated and wanting to rip the heads off of the teams that were considered to be the upper echelon in the NFL. This is two bad losses against two good football teams, in which both times they looked like they were running scared.
Yeah, oh, no question. I mean, when you look at not just their body language, not just the fact that they quit early, to me it was they didn't even look as, it's not that they weren't interested, it's that they knew they just weren't good enough.
And that's bad.
And that to me was, you know, I'll take the disinterest. You know what I mean? I'll take the, you know what, it's just one of them days for us. But I overall think that they don't think they were good enough. And I like, you know what? You know who's the real MVP right now? Is the GM of the Vikings right now.
Rick Spielman.
Rick Spielman is definitely the MVP of the season. The Sam Bradford pickup, and knowing that North Turner, who I played for in San Diego, is a guru when it comes to quarterbacks and a guru when it comes to getting them ready. Man, Sam Bradford looks like the kid we thought he was going to be when he was the number one overall pick coming out of college.
So Danny Green would be able to tell you that
he is what we thought he was.
Right. Exactly. And on top of that, you also have to be careful what you wish for, because there are certain situations in life in which you want to be the man, or you want to tell people that you have a plan, and then when you do and put that plan in place, all the barrels and scopes are suddenly right in your face. ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, we're back for another fun-filled segment, because the first two were pretty damn good. Just ask us, we'll tell you. It's Nick and Trap and Joel, and you can tweet us, which a lot of people have been doing already today. And, of course, there are several people that are Cowboys fans that are always looking forward to Sunday, wanting to know what my Packers are going to do against their Cowboys. We'll get to that. But he is at TrapJ99. I am at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Pac is in the Packers. Yes, and they won. And at No Hit Nick. So we can be reached on Twitter, which a lot of people like to do, and we like that. And if you don't have cowardly keyboard confidence and you have a good take, we'll get to it, probably mention it on the air, and we'll, in most cases, we'll respond. And we love the following. And we've told you all, this is our living room. You're welcome in. If you want to chime in, ring the doorbell. But if you chime in and you try to ding-dong ditch us, or you're a coward, we will hunt you down, we will hurt you, and you will never be heard from again. But other than that, we were talking about a lot of things. We started talking about the disaster up in Minnesota. The headline, Purple Pain, in the Chronicle. Could have done a lot better. But, okay, thanks for trying. But definitely not a fun experience if you're a Texans fan up there. I was hoping for a better game. I was hoping, because of what happened in the Patriots fiasco, that you were going to see a team that came out trying to show, not only just show up, but show out to the point where people can say, okay, they're better. They've already cleaned up what didn't work against the Patriots. They opened it up because they have the weapons, and they're a better team. And I didn't see that. No. I don't want to say that they regressed to the point where they're even worse than they were before the New England game, but I saw the same team.
Yeah.
And I heard a coach that told me for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, he's taken over the play calling because it's got to get better. I saw an offense that did the same things. They were running scared. They were running plays to be so conservative that they gave themselves no chance to win. We talked overall throughout the week about the fact that we didn't care who Xavier Rhodes was guarding on defense, that whoever the other guy was should have had a field day because of Terrence Newman, because of what was coming at them. But you got to get him the ball. We consistently saw Bill O'Brien's play calling be conservative. We consistently saw the quarterback that we told you is a guy that will not look receivers, look the defense off. He will stare down receivers. We told you that he has a problem when he has to move out of the pocket, that he's not accurate. He's been throwing behind guys. And when he throws behind, bad things happen, like turnovers and interceptions. We told you that he hangs onto the ball too long a lot. And the fact that the offensive line, who is okay when they are protecting for 3 to 4 seconds. But when you ask them to try and take a defense at the caliber of the Minnesota Vikings and hold on for 5 to 7, you're asking for disaster, and that's what they got.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you. When we talk about what all the things we said, those are all the things that they didn't do. When we talk about, and you know what? The defensive line actually played well enough to win this game.
Totally agree.
They played good. When you talk about Clowney playing in the backfield and doing his job, I saw Vince Wilfork continue to and habitually jack up that center and put him in the backfield the entire game and do his job.
Did you just cuss at me with a bad word?
No.
Because I know you said you could say it.
Yeah, I know. But, no,
but
I
said, that's something you say. That's locker room talk right there. I didn't like that.
Okay, I apologize.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry. I wasn't talking about grabbing anybody,
why don't you
though.
Talk about your,
I'm talking about Vince grabbing somebody.
So just talk about your opponent's significance other's indiscretions. We'll be fine.
But you know what? I feel bad because you know what? I'm tired of watching the head coach come out and say, "Oh, it's my fault. It's my like that." That right there is
Gary Kubiak speak.
It's Kubiak speak, and you know what? I understand why Kube did what he did because he wanted to fall on the sword for his guys.
Right.
But at some point, you got to take Honus and say, "Listen, I can't play quarterback for you. I can't play tight end for you. I can't play defense. I can't play safety. I can't play special teams for you. You get paid to play. You get paid to play this game, so you have to do your job. I'm doing mine by coaching you. I put you in the best position. I've given you the plays. I've given you the strategy. I've given you the playbook. I've given you everything I can give you up until 12 o'clock noon on Sunday Central Time. Everything else is on you."
And here's the thing I'm going to say. If you're winning, right, and you're winning and you're competing, and week to week your record is good, you're playing good football, and then you say, "That's on me this week," the fan base and everybody else is going to go, "No problem. I get it. It happens. You have an off day. Things don't go your way. Okay, we'll take that." But when you take Kingsford and you take it and you put it all around your office chair, and then you drop six matches, now you're not only on a hot seat, but you're at a campfire. And you're going to turn that campfire into a bonfire by saying, "That's on me." That's when it is on you.
Yeah.
That's when the owner hears that and goes, "You know what, man? You got to do better than this. And if you want me to blame you for all the indiscretions of your team, and you're going to tell me that they came into Minneapolis and weren't prepared and didn't win and showed up and played like they did all because of you, now I'm going to blame you."
But I don't think Bob looks at him and says, "This is really on him."
He needs to.
But you know what? I don't think he does, for the simple fact is, I think he's been around the game long enough to understand that this is, it's coach speak. You know what I mean? It is coach talk. It's, you know, we talked about the Donald's locker room talk. This is how he makes sure he takes care of his guys. This is how he makes sure that, that the guys don't think our coach let me down. You see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but to my point, if you're losing, you've taken over play calling, you've done all the things that you thought was going to straighten this out. First time it happens, the New England game's an abomination, and you just go, "It happens," right? So since then, you step in as the head coach, the leader, the guy who's got his players back, and says, "You know what? I'll clear that New England game up. Play calling's on me now. We're going to do things differently. Even though we lost JJ, we're going to be okay. We're going to do the things necessary to come together as a team and get better every week, and we are going to be better." How's that for coach speak? And yeah, in the process of doing all that, you calm down the natives that are restless.
Yeah.
But then you go and put a performance like this on tape, and out of it you say, "My guys just weren't, that's on me. They weren't prepared." Now, all the goodwill that you laid and all the backs that you got covered, you better start covering your own.
But here's the thing, they know that that's not the truth. Like, everybody knows you can't put that on Bill O'Brien. Yeah, you can put some things. You can put guys that are not prepared. You can put guys who don't have the information. But when you give a guy the information and you're able to say that's one thing about the league. Every week we have our preparation book. Every week you get your Bible every week.
Mm-hmm.
Your basic instructions before playing the game. You get your Bible every week and you say, this is how we're going to prepare for this team. This is what we're going to do. And if you do not follow that to a T as far as a player, or if you do not read and you do not learn and you do not study that like it's gospel, like it's in red letters from the man himself,
mm-hmm,
that is on you. That is no longer on the coach, because I gave you everything you needed to know. So the fact is that he falls on the sword for his guys. I understand why he's doing it. But at some point, you got to say, "You know what? I'm tired of being, for the fan who doesn't watch the game like he's supposed to, I'm tired of being a scapegoat for these guys."
Well, here's the thing, though, Travis Johnson. I understand what you're saying, right? And as an ex-NFL guy, I respect everything you're saying. But at a certain point, at a certain time, I have to say, for what I've said all along, that he could be, now I'm saying he should be on the hot seat. Do you disagree with that?
No, I don't. I can't put him on the hot seat right now. I mean,
why not?
Because coaches get fired and players stay. And at the end of the day, if you just fired the last coach for the same foolishness that's going on right now, at some point you got to say, we talk about Prince because at the end of the day they just finished getting whooped dang near on Lake Minnetonka. At some point, let's go to Michael Jackson and say somebody got to look at the man in the mirror and make that change and say, listen, this is what has to happen for us to win games. We cannot continue to do the same thing. If it happened under the last regime and it happens under this regime, at some point you look at the players, you look at the soldiers, and don't stop looking at the leadership because that is where the problem lies.
I can do what you do and I can do it too. So there you go. But I'm not going to bring Michael Jackson in because he's not from Minneapolis. But I can tell you that it's time to go crazy and I will go delirious. And if you need me to be, I'll get in my little red Corvette and I'll drive around and tell everybody that it's time to put this man on the hot seat and tell him and tell the rest of the fan base, hey, if I'm taking the play calling over, if I'm doing these things, because even if you don't call guys out by name, just do what we did. The defensive line played good.
That he did.
Okay? But your quarterback didn't. All right? Your receivers didn't show.
And your play calling didn't
get involved. The guy in the tailback position that has proven when he gets his hands on the football on a regular basis, you move the ball.
Yeah. I agree.
So, therefore, I'm not going to get in my little red Corvette yet, but I am going to tell you about Houston Can Cars for Kids. Because of the fact that if you have that little red Corvette in your driveway and it's not operational, or you've just had enough of it, or you have a hoopty somewhere that you feel like is no longer fulfilling the needs and the wants of the car that it once was to do what it once did, I have a solution for you. There are kids out there who have dropped out of school. Maybe they got a chance. They didn't know what to do with it. They screwed it up, but they're looking for another opportunity because they want to make something of their lives. Well, I've got a solution for you, and you can help these kids, and you might not even know you can do it. All you got to do is take that car or that boat or that trailer or that motorcycle, running or not, if it's been sitting around in your yard or in your garage or in storage, and you want to do something with it, you donate it to Houston Can Cars for Kids. They do the rest. All you got to do is call them up and let them know at 713-225-4226. Say, I've got this and I got to get rid of it. I think it'll help you guys. Not only will it help them, it's going to help you. Because what they do is they come right to you. They deliver the paperwork. They do all the processing. They make sure you get a tax donation. You get a tax donation. Okay, so you're going to get, for your donation, you're going to get a tax-deductible opportunity to get money off your taxes. That's the biggest thing that it benefits you. So you said, well, I could sell these things for parts. Well, guess what? It's about the same amount of money, if not more, you're going to get off your taxes if you do the right thing and donate it. And in the process, once you donate it, what Houston Can Cars for Kids does is they take that car and they turn it into success stories. They give kids all the things that they need that they can't get otherwise, from free hot meals to bus passes, to book money, to all the things, transportation to campus, everything that they can do to help kids so they can make a success story out of someone that might otherwise be a failure is what Houston Can Cars for Kids is all about. So please, donate today. And if you do, there are plenty of things that you can get in response to doing this. All you got to do is say you heard it on ESPN 97.5. Go to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Call 713-225-4226. Right off the car, not the kid.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank and Travis Johnson on a Monday afternoon in H-Town after a weekend that most esteemed members of the Houston community would like to forget. Nick, your Cougars did what we warned you could happen. And they could do on a Thursday night game, on a weekend game at the Naval Academy. They took a gut punch to the Naval, and they never got back up. And Navy beat U of H and basically all but ended their chances for a national title and an appearance in the Final Four. They still can bounce back, and they can beat Louisville, and they can do some things. They might get a New Year's Six, but I don't know about anything with a Final Four opportunity. And then on Sunday, where everybody thought, well, we can salvage the weekend if the Texans show up. Probably can even salvage it even if they don't win, but they play very well against the only undefeated team left in the NFL. And instead, they lay another giant goose egg. And before the break, Travis and I were, harmlessly debating the fact that we can do point counterpoint and whether or not Bill O'Brien should be on the hot seat. and what the hell's going on with this team? And so what I wanted to get back to as we get back into the conversation is I'll throw it out for you and we'll go back and forth. But you mentioned, and I agreed with you for basically everybody that you mentioned, who showed up, who didn't. So give me five guys that showed up in your mind and played their asses off like they wanted to win and they didn't look like they were running scared.
Well, for one, I got to say Jadeveon Clowney played well. I think he played very well. Vince Wilfork, another one, played very well. Christian Covington, you know, he was up and down at times, but he gave great effort. When you look at Dwayne Brown, you know, for being the first game back, played very well. And in a name that you probably wouldn't expect to hear, Charles James. I mean, yeah, he gave up some big plays, but he gave up some of those plays because of his stature, not because he wasn't trying hard, not because he wasn't like some of those. Like it was a touchdown pass caught on that was a great throw. It was one of the best throws I had seen all year as far as precision, as far as placement, as far as all of that. This kid was in a position to make plays all game, and I think the only reason he didn't was because of how big he truly is and the fact that he's not an every down player. He's not a guy who can have out there all day long. He's still young in the game. He's more of a special teams guy. But the cojones that he played with in this game and the effort that he played with, I think you couldn't really go wrong. And that's who I saw. I think the O line, if I got to give bad grades out, the O line played terrible. If I got to get bad grades out, the special teams, which we thought would have been a big factor,
I said
in
it could
this
be
game.
The deciding factor in the game.
We talked about Blair Walsh. We forgot about the return game.
Yep.
We forgot about the things.
Keenan
did bring it up. I'm speaking on me and you. Yeah, we forgot about that, and we talked about the records that he's setting out there in Minnesota, which was phenomenal. So, I mean, the game was played hard. For the most part, by a few people.
A few people, that's why I said five.
A few people played hard. Okay. And
so let me give you mine, all right? Because I agree with a lot of what you said, all right? And you were all on the defensive side of the ball. I will say this. From an offensive perspective, a guy that impressed me, because now you remember when they drafted him to be a blocker in the run game and to hold his own at the tight end position. But Fedorowicz not only showed me that he can catch the football, which was supposedly one of his weaknesses, but his toughness. He got knocked around again, but he kept coming back. He wanted to get back on the field. He showed that competitive desire to get out there and want to keep playing and try and do some positive things. So I'm going to add him to that list, all right? I agree with you on Clowney. I'm going to give you a name you didn't say. But Merciless was all over the place.
I apologize. Whitney Merciless was out there playing. He was playing some ball.
Because Clowney got at least four or five tackles in the backfield for loss. In a lot of them, Merciless was right next to him.
Yes.
In the sack game, Merciless showed up again, which we always said is a huge factor for the Texans' defense. So Merciless to me, along with Clowney, I'll give you Wilfork. I say Fedorowicz, and then John Simon. John Simon was a guy running around, even when the play wasn't to his side.
Yeah.
He was coming around to the other side, the strong side. He was getting in on plays, making tackles. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see a guy that goes, it's not to my side, I'm giving up.
Yeah.
You guys go get him.
Yeah, John Simon played with great effort. And when you look at, you realize why he went to Ohio State. You realize why this guy is who he is because of the effort that he gives, the way he works. And you got to remember, this guy cut his teeth on special teams when he first got
here. Yes.
You know, so he gives that special teams type effort. And you know what? It might be, after watching this game against Minnesota, it might be one of those things where you say, we have to get our starters back on the special teams if we want to be successful. We have to get our big name players back on special teams if we want, because if we don't, we could very well lose this game on special teams. Look at the Chargers. The Chargers found a new way to lose games. My last year in San Diego, we had the number one offense and we had the number one defense. But we had the very worst special teams in the NFL, and it cost us eight games because of it. And I don't want to see this team here in Houston go down because of the special teams play.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. So you can talk about that. I can talk about the fact that you talk about Simon being from Ohio State. That's a Mike Vrabel-coached player.
Yeah.
Another Ohio State guy, but a guy that knows toughness. A guy that's going to say, I don't care if we're down 27 points. You're going to go out there and pound someone in the face, knock someone down, and wreak havoc on that defense until I say you're out of the game, someone else is in. Don't quit until I say, like, basically don't until I blow the whistle.
Yeah.
I didn't see that from a lot of guys. And on the offensive side of the ball, you're going to pay all this money for Brock Osweiler. And I understand that everybody, again, lets him have a pass, understands when he takes it on his shoulders, says that's on me, says I got to be better, I got to throw better balls to D-Hop, even in the 50-50 ball situation. But he continues to do the things that seem to be coachable moments that you should be able to rectify, which is stop staring down your receivers. Stop trying to extend plays when you know the last thing that anyone wants you to do is hang around the pocket and set yourself up for a big, devastating hit, especially when your offensive line is just getting back to healthy. And I do give you, I'll give you Dwayne Brown because he really good effort and helped solidify some things that looked like they were getting scary.
Yeah.
But overall, Lamar Miller's another one of your guys. You went out and spent the money on him. Give him the ball.
Give him the ball.
He's been leading the entire NFL in touches. And all of a sudden, it's like, poof, he's gone.
Yeah, he's getting... He goes from literally, he was getting, what, 26 touches a game?
Yeah.
To all of a sudden now, he's barely touching the ball. That to me, that's on the coaching. That's on the play calling. That part is. But as far as being prepared, that's on the players.
Okay, and that's fine. But now we're coming to the hallelujah moment when I think that I got you. Now I think I'm bringing you back in because this is where I'm going with this. I understand what you're talking about, and it's got to be on the players to want to play, the desire to play, and to not give up, and to just come out and balls out it.
Yeah.
But at some point, you look at the Tennessee game, the first two series, they were Miller and Fuller and the tight end,
yeah,
and they went down the field and marched the ball on offense. I saw no Lamar Miller. I saw no reason to not go to Lamar Miller, and then I saw them abandon everything that worked for them, but then all of a sudden, they won't even run the football. Let alone they can't throw it. And I threw my hands up going, this game's over before we even get to the second quarter, let alone halftime. Because then I started seeing the body language, too. That's why I'm telling you, that's why I start with Bill O'Brien. Let us know where you start. Do you start with Bill O'Brien? Do you start with Brock Osweiler? Where do you start in terms of your frustration level with this Houston Texans team? And what are you going to do to fix it? Or what are you going to suggest? We're here for you, 713-780-ESPN. We're here till 4 p.m. You can also tweet us. We are on Twitter and very easily to find. We got calls waiting. Alvin, Drew, we'll get to you guys as well. We want to talk to you, ESPN 97.5 FM. A Southern girl with a scarlet draw.
ESPN.